I've been told there's a block of wood in my head. Blockhead is what they call me.
All right, the Walter and Fonz show. Fonz, how you doing?
Dude, I'm ready, man. Pilot
good.
49.
The pilot 49, and we're still not canceled. Yeah. I guess you got to be pretty bad to be canceled from the internet, but we're still not canceled. We're going strong, so here
cheers.
We go. There we go. Oh, can we get another one? An echo?
All right, yep, yeah, already.
Let's get a reverb. Can beer can opening? Oh, did you already open it?
Yeah,
Johnny Ray.
Time has passed.
Yeah, well, I can give you a little drinking sound.
There you go.
That's what's up. Go. You can't. The unexpected is expected for this show. We have an incredible show lined up. We have Merle Jagger. Merle Jagger is in the house. Wait, actually, we're in their house. But nonetheless, they are here and they're awesome. They're going to share some time with us. They found some time in their busy schedule. How are you guys doing?
Good, great, man.
Good. Fired up on fire whiskey.
Yeah, fire whiskey seems to be the theme. You know, a lot of people, they like Fireball. I see you're going
that's
with
mine.
The
I got that at home, man.
The Jack Daniel's, the Tennessee Fire. Yeah.
Well, that's because the fire was half price at Ralph's.
they're all similar. But
I'm all about that.
Really cool.
Johnny was our taste tester, and he gives the Jack Daniel's a thumbs up.
And when you guys first tried it, nothing about it said like Big Red, or was it Big Red?
Yeah,
Big Red.
What it said to me was that the cinnamon toothpicks that I
oh the cinnamon ooh, toothpicks. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Well, we are drinking fire whiskey. We're drinking Miller Lite. And we're ready to roll tape. I guess we can't say tape anymore because it's a digital world. But you know, let's get to the chase. Merle Jagger, how does this band form? How does this happen? What's the evolution of where you guys are? You guys recently played in Pasadena. You guys opened up for Dick Dale. How did that evolve to that?
Well, not collectively, but individually, the three of us are hired gun musicians. And after several years of that, I kind of got tired of it and decided to start my own band featuring myself on guitar. Seems how that's what I was getting paid for. And I was always a big country music fan. And I was some friends of mine were successful country musicians. And they said, well, Mark, if you're going to play country music, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to figure out a way to advertise yourself as a country musician, because I was a rock player at the time. I wouldn't be taken seriously. So I took a couple of years off and reinvented myself and started studying all the classic guys from the 50s and 60s and came up with this idea to do an instrumental band to advertise myself as a country guitarist. No one would book the band because we didn't have a singer. the snoots and the naysayers were pleasantly surprised when I started my own country night to have my own gig, and it was the LA Weekly pick of the month.
Sweet.
And then an indie label showed up and signed the band, and off we went. And the touring led to 3-hour stints. So I started singing because even I was getting tired of 3 hours of instrumental music. And that went on for about 5 years. And the original two band members, bass player and drummer, decided to move on with their lives and quit playing music. So I got another band. And then at a certain point, one of the band members in that version of Merle Jagger, his band took off. And the drummer went on the road as a drum tech for Def Leppard.
All right.
So I needed a new band, and there's an old music business quote, shoot a bullet down Sunset Boulevard and you'll hit 10 great drummers. So I found Johnny after I fired a couple shots.
I survived the bullet shot, too.
And I needed a bass player. And finding musicians for Merle Jagger's not easy because the music requires a large vocabulary of styles. And Nick, who had just showed up here out of MI, I thought, perfect. And of course, I met Nick playing in another roots band. And after spying on him at a few rehearsals, I figured, like, he's the guy.
Yeah, it was one rehearsal. I got snagged up right away.
Wait, headhunting exists in the entertainment industry?
And the fact that I already had an established band and branded name, it kind of made it a little bit more attractive for people to join. And there's gigs and tours and stuff. And so I'm very happy to have the lineup that I have now. And we're about to make some new recordings and hit the road again in September. Everybody's taken off for the summer, and we'll be back.
So you guys are supporting an album, the one you got. Yeah. Fonz, you saw Merle Jagger at the Grove.
Yeah.
You bought that CD.
Sorry. It's the Farmer's Market.
The Farmer's Market.
Now well, that's okay because it's important for everyone to know that the Farmer's Market leases their property to the Grove. And has nothing to do with the Grove. The Farmer's Market is on the west side of the property, and they're on the east side. And the Grove does shows, but it's cover band music.
Gotcha.
And in the west patio of the Farmer's Market, you'll find more
talent.
No, I didn't want to go there, but. There's more original music, bigger name bands that have bigger followings. There's Big Sandy plays, the Lucky Stars, a famous Cuban band played last Friday and packed the place, you know, and that corresponds with what I do there, featuring local indie country bands. And
Big Sandy and the Fly Right Boys.
Yeah, okay. He plays there once a year.
Gotcha, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that correction.
And I apologize to any of the bands he was talking about. You know,
yeah, I'll edit that apology out.
If anybody's heard my comment, I didn't mean anything.
The Grove features cover band music, which is they're talented as well. They're just not art. They're not original artists.
Right. Yeah, correct.
That's what I meant.
But they do sell cell phone covers and trinkets. They help to sell that merchandise on the strip there.
So you guys are supporting that album. That album has been around for quite a while, I understand, right? Like
the funny thing about the album is I've tried to make another one over the years, and either the money hasn't been there or the band has been too busy, and now it's fine. Now that it's lined, the stars are lining up, the money's there and the band's available. And we're going to try to get it done as soon as we can because we're all busy and we're all playing with other bands and touring and traveling. But I'm sure you're all familiar with Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes.
Possibly.
And the record producer produced Pink Floyd and came up with this collectively with the band, but the producer had the say, came up with this this album concept. And when upon completion of the record, Pink Floyd hated it. And they told the record company, if you release this piece of bleep, we will break the band up. Well, the outcome was, I believe the record is still on the charts. But it famously was in the top 40 of the Billboard charts, which, by the way, is a sales chart. So it's been selling in the top 40 for 35 years. And it's still in the Billboard chart now, but I think it's down in the 1 or 200. They start at 200. So I obviously I've made a lot of records in my time, but none of them have had Dark Side of the Moon success. Well, not that Merle Jagger CD has, but the odd thing about the first Merle Jagger CD is it just keeps going. And like you heard it for the first time. You, as far as you know, it could have come out yesterday.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And thank you very much for the compliment. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's just like, I really haven't had to make another CD. It still gets airplay. We just got added to another station the other day. I'm on Airplay Direct, where the radio stations carouse your music and they play it, stream it right off the radio station site. And it still sells. I'm on all the big stores, iTunes, you name it, you know.
You said it was on a it was featured on an NPR show?
That is correct.
What was
it? Well, it was not an NPR show, it's KCRW.
Oh, got it.
And in 2006 when the CD was released, KCSN in Northridge had kind of stolen the thunder for indie radio from KCRW, which was still playing eclectic music from the 90s. And country had kind of taken over. And KCSN was a big indie country station playing all the local LA bands and playing all the vintage stuff when it was kind of blowing up back then, you know? And so our little record label kind of ignored KCRW. If anyone from KCRW is listening, I do appreciate the airplay. Suddenly, our music shows up on KCRW. Nick Harcourt was using Merle Jagger's music for his bumper music. And four DJs were played our music for 3 years on KCRW, which I thought was interesting. And of course, KCSN, we had Cowboy Nick, who's no longer there. He's still on KXLU, but Cowboy Nick played Merle Jagger all the time and really helped in getting airplay. Are you familiar with KEXP Seattle?
No.
That's a great radio station. I highly recommend it. They still play Merle Jagger's music. Sweet. And they sponsored a show for us 10 years ago.
It's like an album that keeps re-releasing itself.
Year. When I was in high school, someone handed me the famous Miles Davis album, Kind of Blue, and said, you know, if you're going to take music seriously, you need to hear this, right? And this thing was already 35 years old, and it just keeps getting passed around. It's a staple. Yeah. Or like a Stevie Ray Vaughan record or a Jimi Hendrix record or something like that, you know? So that's kind of been on a smaller scale. The Merle Jagger CD has kind of wound up being like Dark Side of the Moon or one of those kind of things, you know, that just keep, it'll go on forever. Yeah. And that's great. I finally, like, after 30 years, got it right.
Totally. That's,
but we're busting the scene with new material, so, you know.
You ready to roll.
I would have said it got released 3 months ago.
Thank you. See, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
I think it helps to not have any singing on it.
Yeah,
then
possibly.
You don't know when it came.
Wipeout's got you beat on lyrics.
Exactly.
You know, Tequila's got you beat on
lyrics. And we're putting out a Spanish version.
Two, yeah.
Hey, you got a posse here. How did you guys, what's your take? Where did you guys start, and then how did you guys end up with Mark here?
I came up from Minnesota in 2009, driving through. Actually, I drove my Honda Accord that was barely running at the time.
Nick, for our listeners,
bass player Nick. Yeah, some call me Nick Jagger.
That's
a more commonly
that's my
known
favorite.
On stage.
That's Nick Jagger.
Mark came up with that one.
To do the chicken.
Yeah,
when you're playing the bass.
Exactly. So I drove out. I thought it was a good idea to leave in the middle of a blizzard to get out of Minnesota because I'd saved up some money working a bunch of jobs back there, and I decided I was just going to start moving my way out here. So I drove out through a blizzard. It should have been about a three-day trip as my buddy Corey and I drove out, and it probably took closer to 11 days to get out here. Just crashing at every hotel and driving maybe 3 hours a day. So eventually made it out here. I did school at – I did bass – the bass program at MI until around 2010.
The MI, the Music Institute.
Yes, in Hollywood. Yeah, right there in Hollywood and Highland. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then while I was there, I just started jamming around with a bunch of bands. I met Mark years later after playing several genres of music, going through a bunch of bands. And I think he kind of summed it up. I was jamming with one of my first work for hire gigs. He was in there for a couple of rehearsals, and he started talking to me after the, I think it was the first or second one. We got to talking. He's like, "Yeah, man, I love your style." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I really dig your guitar playing too. Why don't you swing over? I got some music you might be interested in playing." And that's when we started jamming. I don't know, 2 years ago now.
Yeah, we're going on 2 years.
2 years.
Nicely
yeah.
done. Sweet.
2014.
Johnny, what about you? How did you jump in here?
Well, I'll keep it short. Basically, I'm from Texas, migrating myself west as I grow up, you know. early on, very, you know, was always influenced. My dad was a country music fan. My mother was a singer. It's there's four brothers in my family. Three of us are drummers. So I was always around working, you know, growing up with music. It was always there. But like I said, you know, as the years go by and I, you know, start getting into it and migrating myself west, end up in Arizona for quite a while, and then up in California, you know, along with, in between all the years, heading off on the road and traveling and playing bands all over the states for that matter.
That is straight up the Southwest.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone
has
the card to be playing country music,
it's that Southwest route, man. The Texas roots, bringing it all the way out here. Fast forward, you know, a bunch of stupid rock and roll years and stuff. Both Mark and I have got a long history in those years. They're formative years. They teach you a lot. You learn a lot, and hopefully you grow through it. Fast forward around to, I hear from a friend of a friend that Mark is looking for a new drummer. I catch that bullet on Sunset Boulevard.
Caught the bullet.
And I auditioned for him, and he says, man, you know, I've tried a few guys, and you seem to, I mean, I think in my recollection, in my opinion, there was probably one thing that might have kind of gave me the edge of all the drummers around town that he had been auditioning. He was asking him, do you know what a Texas three-legged shuffle is? And apparently
that?
I'm one of the very, very few drummers in Los Angeles that knows what a Texas three-legged shuffle is.
Little lover boy, Stevie Ray Vaughan drum beat.
You know, rewind back to growing up in Texas. Yeah. I grew up with those drum beats in my head, listening to those. Even though I was ignoring them, I wanted to be a rock guy, blah, 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 but they were there. So
Merle Jagger, In Through the Outtake, is a three-legged shuffle.
Yeah, it's on that record that you have.
Yeah.
He asked me, and I went, who doesn't? Of course I know that.
Yeah.
So
done.
We start.
Done.
Boom, that helped me. And then what was helping, you know, helped me in my decision-making was the fact that he was going, there's going to be a lot of drum soloing going on if you're in this band. Are you okay with that? So as I'm picking my jaw up off the floor, because it's never, that's just, the bands don't, you know, it's always discouraged, drum solos. I went, absolutely, no sweat. When we start, let's go. So for drummers, I just have to say, for me and my instrument, it's not the easiest kind of music to play. He has a very unique writing style and arrangement style. So it's, you know,
jazz fusion.
It's a blend of a lot of styles. So it was a challenge, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to cower down to any of that shit. You know, bring it on, dude.
Yeah, sweet.
I'll figure this shit out.
Sweet. Mark, seems like you got a good group here.
Thank you. It's important to know that the cowboy hats were not real cowboys, but the band image is to represent that we're outlaw musicians. It's the gag.
Okay.
And there's nothing more cool than a guy ripping a Buddy Rich solo that looks like Dwight Yoakam, or like a gunslinger, like Billy the Kid or something. Imagine Billy the Kid doing a Keith Moon solo with the Who.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, apparently I read somewhere today that he spoke Gaelic or something like that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, his roots.
Billy the Kid or Keith Moon?
No, Billy the Kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, was that on Young Guns?
I don't know.
I'm just playing. I wanted to throw in a Young Guns.
If you believe everything
on
the
I can do that.
If you can believe everything on the internet, you know, that's
yeah, exactly. It's probably next to how this show is very credible with our history and referencing.
But I like to read, so
exactly.
So you guys toured around everywhere, right? And I see the guitars, and there's a bunch of guitar cases. Have you guys ever had your equipment stolen?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the guitar, like the name of the guitar, or what was stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's painful to recollect.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Fonz.
No, the only reason.
No, I didn't mean that in a negative way. I meant like I've had some stuff I wish I had now.
Yeah.
Because famous people played the guitar.
I left
it outside while I was unloading, and I had a conversation with somebody. I went out, my guitar was gone. The guitar was played by Robin Trower and Buddy Miles.
Oh, oh wow. And the only the only reason I bring it up is because one of our other podcasting friends from the LA Podcasters, his name is Kush. He played for this band called The Wigs.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
So he has his own podcast, and he talked about like the guitars that he lost, but the one that got away. And he actually found his guitar in a pawn shop when he went back home. And he called the cops, and he had made a report for the guitar, and he got his guitar back.
That's good. Wow. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah. So
happy ending.
And then so he brought it back home to L.A. and was playing it for a while, and he said that he was like reminiscing and everything, but the time had passed for that guitar. The sound was over, so he had to give it away and sell it. I was like, "What are you doing? Keep everything, you know." And I'm just wanted to see if you guys had
still experienced it. Still, it was a happy ending. So,
yeah,
amazing story. I think it was like 2 years ago. Peter Frampton's guitar was stolen in the '70s or '80s, and it just got recovered like 2 years ago. Wow. Somebody in Brazil found it at a guitar shop.
It just happened to Satriani recently too. Stevie Vai. No, Stevie Vai. I think.
Peter Frampton, that's an easy one. Aren't there like three humbucklers on that Les Paul?
It was
like
the only one. It was the black they found. It was that black one. That black one, yeah. Yeah.
In Brazil.
I remember that.
A repair shop was fixing it, and the guy, I think it was the repair guy, he goes, "This guitar looks familiar."
Wow, did you say that happened to Steve Vai?
Yeah, this is, I don't know, only a few months ago. He's playing in town here. Someone snagged it up from backstage. They threw up an ad that night, and they found it the next day. They had found where it was.
That's the cool thing about our recording gear. It's like if they steal ours, the joke's on them.
Mm-hmm. I used to play vintage guitars, but I don't anymore for many reasons. And even though these guitars have sentimental value, they're easily replaceable.
Yeah. Speaking of your guitars, dude, I walked in here and all I noticed were like tellies.
Yeah.
Lipstick pickups and tellies.
Tellies
about this.
He's having a going out sale.
I was a Strat player for a long time. And when I went instrumental, I thought no one needs another Stevie Ray Vaughan or Eric Johnson. Or not that no one needs one. It's just been done.
Right.
And I thought maybe I'll just ditch the Stratocaster altogether. And country, was born on a Telecaster. And, of course, I come to find out that everybody in Nashville has a Paul Reed Smith and a Les Paul now. What do I know? But
Tennessee Rose?
No Tennessee one plays Rose.
Tennessee Rose?
And the Gretsch is hanging in there. But so I was studying these Telecaster hero guys, Danny Gatton, James Burton, Jimmy Bryant, and Roy Buchanan, and Arlen Roth, amazing. Arlen Roth and Danny Catton have a Telecaster battle on the Tequila Song. You guys have not heard that yet. It's unbelievable. You got to hear that.
Yeah. We'll do.
And there's a live performance of them on, I believe, on David Letterman playing when the record came out in the '90s. But anyway, so I went and got some Telecasters and figured out what was going on. And the son of the famous guitar player who played the first Telecaster sees the band and becomes a fan. And our friend, John Bryant, whose dad was Jimmy Bryant, who played the first Telecaster.
Wow.
And that was kind of an honor. And so now I'm kind of stuck playing the Telecaster. But it's not a bad thing, because it's definitely a hot rod and a fun toy. And it's one of those guitars that you can never stop building another one, because it's just four bolts. Remove the four bolts and the eight screws of the pickguard, and you can just make another Telecaster. They just keep reproducing themselves.
This is probably too technical, but I'm just curious to ask, because of the style that you play, what's the gauge of strings that you put on the telly?
That's not a trite question at all. As a matter of fact, Dick Dale's high E string is a 16.
Chicken wire.
Amazing, right?
Chicken wire.
And I prefer to use tens. I've tried everything. Tens is the perfect middle.
Yeah.
And of course, when you break a string, it's the easiest one that somebody always has around. You know.
It's someone else's.
Someone
like,
has
gee.
The same gauge. but
cool. Before our listeners fall asleep. So no, I'm just playing, but. Yeah, that's cool. That's it. Always, especially with like twangy stuff. I mean, it's always the only reason I bring that. What I first learned of this was with Stevie Ray Vaughan, how he had, I think he had a 10 gauge.
He has, no, 11. He had real heavy strings too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, 11s, yeah, 11s. It's something
and played
ridiculous.
Out of three different amps at once, all with different size speakers.
And bended the crap out of them.
Yeah,
I mean, I need like a wrench to bend those strings.
Jimi Hendrix had the lightest strings they made in back in the day.
Oh, really?
Well, everyone did back then.
Yeah.
Not to get too nerdy, but. The Telecaster, I know everything there is to know and still learning. There's choices of wood, choices of pickups, choices of bridge assemblies, all have a lot to do with the sound of this era or that era or this guitar player or that record,
okay.
You know? And so that's why I have so many of them. Plus, I need them to match different outfits.
Sweet.
You know, not only enough, all that kind of stuff applies to drums too. You know,
it's all looks.
Shell sizes, shell woods.
Nick, we had a previous guest that said the bass is the wheels of the bus.
It is. If one of those wheels is missing, you're definitely going to notice it. Yeah, for sure. I could agree
you know,
with that.
The bass is just fat and juicy, rattles the rib cage.
Yeah.
It's
you know, I grew up. The first instrument I played was tuba back in third grade when I started learning.
That has a
so it's also a bass instrument where you have to be there, and if you're not in time and blending well, you could just throw everyone off. So
Walt, what you've been missing is that Nick on stage, he's business. He's all business. He's out there just
I'm just having fun, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's
bro.
Awesome. You know me in the bass, man. I love the bass.
Yeah. I love playing with his kid.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. What does he do?
So he's just in the zone. He's playing his bass and he's going out, and then we have Mark over here just rock and rolling everywhere, and then the drum solos over here. It's like, man, dude, that's why we stayed the whole time. We weren't
like after this song, after this song,
yeah, after this song,
after this song.
Oh, one more picture, come on, let's
one
go.
More picture.
We got a second picture. We just sat there man.
And we're always a lot better with a little when alcohol's involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pick up a lot of that stuff, like getting into the net. Because as a bass player, you don't want to be playing too much. You want to get the melodies right. But you also don't want to be rhythmically playing too much, otherwise you start stepping on people's toes. James Jamerson and Jocko was like a really good example of that. They're just every single note they're hitting it precisely, and they're hitting it with meaning. And I think I try to do that in performance and in studio as much as I can.
Yeah, that's why you guys were like, oh man, I've never heard of you guys, and you guys were so tight, and we were just
tight
sitting
as a
there.
Drum.
Locking in with the drummers, you know, real important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick and I have been.
Yeah,
we've been working together for a while, so you know there's some something happening somewhere that
gotcha.
You know,
yeah. We got that.
We don't have to look at each other. It's like
master
whoa,
telly.
We're going there, right?
We got the okay. Master telly, the master drummer, and the not the third wheel of the bus, or not the fifth wheel. No. All four wheels.
All four wheels of the bus.
Great.
The heartbeat here and master among.
You, you know what thrills me is you got what the concept of the band is about. It's Merle Jagger stands for country rock, and it's all the great three-piece bands, The Who, Jimi Hendrix, and then your basic country band's a three-piece band. It's a bass, drums, guitar, and on top is the steel. But basically, it's a mix of these two kinds of music. We're just kind of like reinventing it a little bit.
Well,
new twist on an old theme.
Yeah, but, I mean,
we don't see this anymore. You don't see. There's no Stevie Ray Vaughan. People see us when we leave LA. Well, I've never seen anything like this before. Well, thanks for the compliment, but unfortunately, you know, you weren't around when Stevie Ray Vaughan was alive. You know, otherwise you wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I'm glad that somebody's still doing, you know, showcasing musicianship in a with a new twist on an old theme. You got it. Perfect compliment.
Well, how old is, to add to that, how old is rock and roll, right?
Yeah, rock and roll was born out of country. How about that? Country rock
exactly.
Started as country
exactly.
rock.
Exactly.
Country and blues.
Yeah, country and blues.
Yeah, yep. Fonz, want to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Thank you.
All right, we are back. Trash Tornado, that's the track.
Dude, I love that track.
Why?
Oh man, come on, the drums, everything. It's a really cool song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any questions to ask about that track? You're in the right place.
No,
right
we
now.
Were talking about that earlier.
And we are with Merle Jagger, by the way.
And then there's a story behind it, and I want to hear everything I can about that story.
Well, titling an instrumental song, you got to be creative because there's no hook line to sing along with. So, but when I was a kid, growing up in Southern California, as you would know, we have our Santa Ana winds. And when I was in elementary school, the Santa Ana wind would blow and cause a little whirlwind, like a dirt devil, and our lunch would get in it, and it would hit the trash can, and there'd just be this like whirlwind of trash, and we would throw more trash in it, because we're kids, every time it would come at us at the lunch table, we would throw our bags and plastic bags in it to see, watch it whirl around in front of us. That's a trash tornado.
Freaking awesome. Hey, speaking of which, yeah.
Also, did you put your jacket on the chain link fence and then the sand and the wind would leave it there? It wouldn't fall down, you know?
Really?
Yeah, you'd put your jacket or your whatever you're wearing, just take it off, put it on the chain link fence, and it just stays there because the wind's blowing it.
Yeah, that's right. You pull it off, it's got the squares.
It's like it's stuck to it.
Yeah. Speaking of which, yeah, we're actually in Fonz. We're pretty cool right now because we're in NoHo.
Yes.
Right? NoHo. This is
that's
NoHo.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it didn't start in NoHo. You're from Orange County. Tell us about that.
Yes, I grew up on next to an orange tree ranch, and my mom lived in Hollywood when she was in her 20s and dated actors and worked in a record store. How cool is that? And then she got a real job teaching in Orange County and met my dad. And so my dad went away in the military. So my mom picked up the kids and we just went back to Hollywood to go on TV shows and to go shopping. And in the 70s, there was this famous place called Wallach's Music City on the corner of Sunset and Vine. And you could buy sheet music there. It was a famous place. So my mom would make sure that I got the right sheet music for my guitar lessons. And so when I graduated from high school, or during high school, I was fascinated with Hollywood because I noticed that all the records were coming out of there. And I thought, well, I want to be a part of this. You know, maybe there's a job up there for me or whatever. But in the 60s and 70s, when I grew up in Orange County, there was a lot more agriculture than there is now. So on the inside of the Merle Jagger CD, you'll see an orange grove. At the very early age of between 8 and 10 years old, country music in the 60s and 70s was really big anyway. And you know who all these people are, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, Tammy Wynette, whatever, hee-haw TV show. So I associate this with my childhood, and my parents were worried that I would become a rock musician because I liked rock music as a kid. So they would buy Chet Atkins and Roy Clark records and Johnny Cash, believe it or not, would leave it next to the record player so that I would see it, right?
Yeah.
So I associated quality guitar playing with Roy Clark, Chet Atkins, and Les Paul. My mom loved Les Paul.
Sweet.
So I fast forward to now. So I moved to Hollywood and I have a session music career and then after 25 years went by, I kind of started yearning for this old music. So Merle Jagger kind of is a celebration of where I started with snap shirts, cowboy hats, Telecasters, and this white Telecaster here, which you can't see on the podcast, is a recent Fender reissue. And I grabbed it because it's the first Telecaster I ever saw in the music store.
Really?
The case, the guitar, the case, the color, everything was the first. And I thought a spaceship had landed because I'd never seen a solid body electric guitar. That doesn't mean that they weren't unpopular. I was just a podunk kid, you know, in a small little town. And I was taking acoustic guitar lessons. And to me, an electric guitar was something the Beatles had, these big, giant black things, you know. I never saw a white one until the until Jimi Hendrix showed up with his Strat, you know. And so I was just marveled at this thing. And then obviously later I come to find out that it's the first solid body guitar that went into production, the Telecaster.
Wow. Is that why, is that part of the reason why you continue with the Telecasters?
That is. And it, like I said, when I jumped into country guitar, I didn't know that in Nashville, the Telecaster was kind of old news, and it was all about the Paul Reed Smith and the Les Paul. But here we are 15 years later with this constant battle between the two styles of music, you know, new country, old country, to draw a line in the sand, you know, and it doesn't, I like both, you know,
yeah.
But for me, for my age, I preferred it to celebrate the past.
So you guys, to switch gears for a sec, you guys played that new venue in Pasadena. You guys opened up for Digdale. Mm-hmm. What's that like? What's the inside of that building like? Was it fun for you guys? And did you guys get to meet Digdale? Have you met him in the past?
Yeah, the place is Nick absolutely first. Gorgeous. Brand new stage. I think they just opened up under a year ago. The Rose, it's called. But yeah, opening up for Digdale was one of the coolest things I've done in my musical career so far. the sound and playing style that he produces live, I didn't think you can get that good of a sound live. And I would, yeah, he gets a stereo sound that comes at you, and you really do get engulfed by his playing. And he, you know, he's another guy that doesn't use a lot of lyrics in his music, but he definitely says more than he needs to say just with his instrument and his equipment.
Monumental artistry.
Yeah.
Unexplainable brilliance. A three-piece band with no frills or thrills.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And a monster drummer. He's a maniac.
That is good. How did that show get lined up?
The venue is killer too. I just have to put a plug in for the Rose. The venue is really, really awesome. It's reminiscent of the Canyon Club out here.
They own it. The Canyon Club owns it.
Style wise, you can see that they use the same basic design for the place. But there was something. I've played both rooms now and the Saban Theater. But there was something about that room for me as a drummer on the stage. The acoustics, the sound system. Maybe even, you know, the engineer, who knows, the sound man. It was something. This is a drummer thing. When I was playing my drums, I felt godlike, you know.
Wow.
The acoustics were really great.
It was just okay. I hit something, and it was like.
So they nailed it with the venue.
You know, thunder and light.
He hit something. A stick hit my guitar. Yeah. Damn it.
Well, I broke a cymbal that night.
Is that what
too,
that was?
You know? Wow.
I was just pumped. It was just such a. It was giving me back as much as I was giving. It was a really, really powerful night. The room, the venue, the opening up for Dick, and everything was just terrific. So,
we do a lot of shows for the Canyon Club for a few years now. We've done Dickie Betts, Wanda Jackson, Juice Newton. By the way, at Juice Newton, this woman comes up to me and says, "You guys are fantastic. What's behind the band name?" Well, I said, Merle Travis, first country guitar hero, and rock, Stones. She goes, "Merle Travis, that's my dad."
No way.
So now we're friends.
No.
Yeah, how cool is that, right? And we do a Merle Travis song.
Yeah.
There Ain't a Cow in Texas, Baby If I Don't Love You. It's a great song. Check it out. Sweet. But I saw on Facebook where she went to Aruba for vacation, and I said, "There ain't a cow in Texas that doesn't love Aruba." But anyway, back to Dick Dale. I just got this Fender Showman amp. It's from the 1960s. It has the blackface circuit for the nerds, if they know what that is. And everyone, I want you to look at the amp. It's a great amp for radio. Well, anyway, so I told Dick Dale I got a Showman amp, because Dick Dale invented the Showman amp, and a lot of people don't know that Dick Dale invented a lot of things for Fender. He invented the Fender Spring Reverb with Leo Fender. He invented the Showman amp, and the Showman amp was named after Dick Dale's crazy showmanship. he used to do somersaults on stage and all this crazy stuff. And Dick Dale also helped to invent the Fender Rhodes piano and Fender organ. Amazing, this guy. Plays trumpet in a big band. Remember, he played trumpet?
He plays a lot of, almost all the
harmonica. No, and he sang, oh, wow, too. He sang. And he's Lebanese and claims that his surf music was inspired by Arab music, which is pretty cool because he got Led Zeppelin beat by 15 years because, you know, Kashmir is Arabic scales, and which is a beautiful piece of music. And Dick Dale's doing this in the early 60s, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he proceeded to tell me how he invented the Showman amp, and then I got kicked out of the dressing room because the road manager said, that's enough.
Oh,
next.
Yeah. True story.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have shut up.
Questions. Yeah. I'm sure he did that not because of you, but because of him. Because he would have kept talking.
Oh, once I brought up the Showman, he went off.
Eyes lit up. Huh?
You know I invented that amp, don't you? It is a great sounding amp, though, for country.
Cool. Pons?
What's up, metal music, man?
Metal music. We have metal music. We got metal music. We got metal music, and then we got what's next for you guys. But this is another podcast before the Rio Olympics. I don't know if you guys are Olympic fans or Brazil fans or catastrophe fans, because that's what it seems like this year's Olympics is going to happen. Is going to end up with
Zika.
But
it's all about the Zika.
We have an installment that we've been doing ever since, but leading up to the Olympics, called Metal Music.
Metal Music.
Da, 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 da. but not metal as in metal, as you guys know. It's metal with the Olympics. We got the bronze, silver, and gold. And this show's topic was, which is funny, we talked about it earlier, was songs that make you want to wear a cowboy hat. And I walk into three men wearing cowboy hats. That is freaking nail on the head, right?
Yeah, we have a couple extra for you guys.
Oh,
it's too late now.
Well, we're going to wait for the photo ops for that. We're going to wait for the photo ops. Let's start with you. Did you think about that, or do you want me to go first?
That was really easy for me, man.
It was easy? Yeah, songs that make you want to wear a cowboy hat?
Super easy.
What?
Well,
I didn't say straw hat, dude.
I knew where you're I was Hispanic. Going. I knew where I was coming. I heard
do you know your cowboy hat etiquette?
All right, never leave it on the bed.
That's true.
What?
Don't let nobody touch it, or don't touch anybody else's hat.
That's correct.
Fonz.
No, he's good. He knows.
I don't know you.
What's the other one?
How do you lay it down when you lay it down?
Oh, on upside down.
That is correct.
What the
upside
fuck?
Down. What? Am I missing one?
We put it upside down so people will put money in it for us.
Am I? There's more.
There's more. There. The felt hat.
Well,
is
if you
the
put
winner.
It upside down on the bed too, hopefully some ladies' panties.
There you go. Yeah.
The felt hat. The felt hats are the winter, and the straw hats are the summer.
Okay, straw hat summer.
And,
okay.
And although since we have such nice air conditioning in here, we went for the felt hats. But the bent up ones on the side are Texas swing. Mainly means Texas.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And the outlaw hats are from the 60s movies, or the gunslinger hats, like Johnny's hat. He's got a great hat for radio.
He does.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
That, my question was, what hat would fit me?
What style of hat? They don't make any with the size of your head, dude. You were like
an with the beard.
I think you would look really good with a hipster straight hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just beard and everything.
That would look really good with the beard and everything, because it would give you the accentuate the outlaw look.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe
you'd
like an
badass,
outlaw.
Man.
Outlaw.
Thank you.
You'd have chicks all over you. All
right. I need a hat. And I know the rules now, so. I did my homework.
What is this country? What do you mean by, like,
yeah, that was pretty good, man.
Chicks?
That was
like,
that was really impressive. I did
thank
not
you.
Expect that to come out.
Damn.
Thank you.
Wow. That's impressive.
Hey.
All right. Well, are you just, is that like a smoke because you don't have your three songs?
No. I got my three
He's
songs.
Building into it.
You said they were easy.
Well, two of them, it's actually any song they're playing.
Oh.
Thank you.
That was pretty easy.
Nice.
So,
you're a winner.
And maybe they're going to like not like me for this one, but for my gold, it's going to be Hey Porter. Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Hey, Porter. He talked about the shoe. He's got that little deep line at the end about Porter. Better work.
Hey, Porter. I love that song, man. Yeah. So I was like,
three, okay. And then,
with my cool hat.
Tornado, obviously. Trash Tornado.
Yeah, Trash Tornado.
Maybe what's the track from the album? Three-Legged, the one we used on the last show. What's the name
of
that?
Did you use Three-Legged Hog? That's a good one. Three-Legged Hog. This band doesn't play that, but I still know it on the guitar.
I haven't heard that in a while, man.
Okay, so those are your three.
Which ones I remember? Town Hall Shuffle.
Town Hall Shuffle is is a Joe Mafus song.
Oh, okay.
That we start every show with from day one. It's nice. A warm up song.
It's a good song.
And Joe Mafus was a country instrumental guitar player in the 50s, and it was hearing his music that started Merle Jagger. I thought, no one's doing this. This is not Eric Johnson. This is not Stevie Ray Vaughan. This stuff is really, really cool, melodic, and so I'm gonna start here, and so I've never stopped doing that song because physically to get into the other music, I need something to warm up on.
Yeah, for the fingers.
So that's a good warm up song because that's such a nice melody, you know.
Got you.
Swing beat.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, mine. There's a little bit of country, but these songs nonetheless remind me of wearing a cowboy hat. This song is not country, actually, so it's not a little bit even. But I don't know if you guys know the Stone Roses.
Yeah, I love the
spreads.
Stone.
There's that like slide guitar on that track, and so that track just makes like when that came up, I was like, I just started like doing like slide guitar noises in my head.
Early night.
That it went to that song. And
can
I
we hear
like,
one of those slide guitar noises?
That's like how the spread starts.
Early
that's
90s, good, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm willing to work if you need
them.
Me.
Yeah,
exactly. Early 90s.
Yeah,
Stone
I remember
Roses.
Them. Yeah.
It might have been an English band.
They were.
They were,
they
right?
They were. That is correct.
Yeah. And so they got that Love Spreads. That was for sure. That was like, okay. I gotta go with that. That's my bronze.
It's sort of tough with all these musians here, right?
I know. It's like
you're not being judged. You're judged.
But you know what though? This is a country band, and the coolest thing, it's a country band that knows Stone Roses. like how?
Well, you're close. We're a country rock band, so we do know more. We know we have a large vocabulary of information
country
to share.
Country rock band. That's what makes it even better. That's like you know, it's almost like. With us, with like why punk bands die is because they actually become better musicians, or they have more to add to what to their instrument. And so like with country, it's awesome. You guys have more to add than just country.
I guess
again,
that's
country
that's
rock
what happened
was
to
the
me.
Beginning.
I used to be a punk. Yeah.
What's that?
Or
say
I guess
again?
I'm still a punk.
Silver. My silver goes to. I gotta go with Reverend Horton Heat, Bales of Cocaine.
That
song is just so fun.
They're great, man.
When you first hear that song, cocaine, but it has nothing to do, like just the whole story in that song, and it just like
that's
I can
Texas
that.
Music,
that
right
is
there.
Texas music, Reverend. Austin, Texas music, and then my gold, I can go your route because I'm such a fan, but it's got to be anything Stevie Ray Vaughan, Mary Had a Little Lamb, even his version.
Oh yeah,
Pipeline, Dick Dale. Anything like that, cowboy hat with or without bolo tie or cloak. I can any Stevie Ray Vaughan. So that's mine. And maybe you guys don't have. Maybe collectively, if you guys can talk about what would be a.
I'm sure you
bronze,
guys. Anything you guys say
silver,
will top us.
Oh, got me.
Gold. And you know what though? The coolest thing about it, too is like, you know, honestly, Mark, I can't keep up with your references. I'm glad we're recording this. Because when the show gets done, I'm like, all the references, I'm just going to go and type in here. But
mine are very obscure.
I love it. I love it, man. It's awesome. It just makes me... it's gonna
I know
me...
who broke a string on a session in Nashville in 1960.
I know who broke a G-string in high school in 1990-something. No, bronze, silver, gold. The floor is yours. What do you guys think? Song that'll make you wear a cowboy hat.
Mine will definitely songs different. Will.
Jeez.
Mine's a little more contemporary than
you. Not one each.
Anything Johnny Cash or Merle Haggard. Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard. That's pretty cowboy hat.
Sweet.
I'm really skipping out of the genre on this one and like way outside. But
past Stone Roses?
But you know, you said it was with cowboy hats, right?
Yeah, yeah. Reminds you, makes you want to wear a cowboy.
Dimebag Darrell wore a cowboy hat, and I'm gonna have to say cowboys
from
Pantera.
Now. Yeah, Pantera.
That's look, acceptable.
Look, yeah. I have it written down right here. Well, I have cowboys from hell.
Wait, wait, the song Cowboys from Hell?
Huh?
The song Cowboys from Hell? That makes you want to wear a cowboy hat?
Look, I wrote this before I walked in this place.
Is that what
Cowboys from
Hell? Cowboys from Hell is like on serious. Like it's mentioned on every show because that song is awesome, and it's pre. Pantera. It's actually like
This is a little off genre, but just a little. Isn't it?
So you got Cowboys from Hell that'll make you wear a cowboy hat. Johnny,
cowboy
Ray, what about
man,
you?
I'm always wearing
Johnny.
One.
Oh God, I don't know if it's bronze, silver, gold, or whatever, but I'm always been a big fan of the band.
The band, like the band sang.
The band.
Take a load off, Grant.
The
take a load off, and the last one.
I remember the logo.
Yeah.
And they wore Civil War hats, too.
Yeah, so that's a cool band.
Anything from the band?
Any other songs.
Cool, awesome.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, obviously.
Yeah. You
know, Texas, that was a Texas hat.
He would win anything that makes him wear, like I said, cowboy hat, bolo tie.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's
need
hat
another one,
crosses over to Jimi Hendrix.
Didn't Led Zeppelin go through a whole country thing?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm sure. I mean, I'm getting
I don't know.
Roger Glover.
I'll throw Johnny Cash in there.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. All right.
I mean, who doesn't love, you know?
Right?
Roger Glover of Deep Purple, Machine Head, Deep Purple.
Oh, I was going to.
Complete cowboy
I was just thinking about
outfit.
That when you were saying
sweet.
That.
Man,
yeah, he had a complete cowboy outfit.
We have a lot of honorable mentions here.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of honorable mentions.
Can I just say Clint Eastwood? Huge inspiration for wardrobe for Merle Jagger. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah. Inspiration
movie.
For anything. Yeah.
Any one of those outfits will work for us. I'm actually looking for a poncho.
What's next for you guys? What do you guys got lined up? This you guys got a show in August, right?
We got August 13th, Ranch Party. Last Merle Jagger show until September. And we're all leaving town. We're going on vacations. We're going on music tours. We're taking time off to make a new CD, but we basically have gone nonstop since summer of 2014.
Sweet.
Wow.
I'm glad we caught you guys. Man.
Yeah.
Sure.
For anyone listening, our last show will be August 13th at the Ranch Party at the Farmer's Market West Patio. And then we'll be back sometime in late September.
What's the website?
The website is MerleJagger.com, which is a billboard, and then it sends you to Reverb Nation or Facebook. Reverb Nation. But we're actually in the process of building a new website.
Cool.
So right now, it's just a GoDaddy billboard.
All right. Sweet.
Naked cowgirls, first thing you see.
can't go wrong.
Nope.
Guys, it has been a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you guys
for
so much.
letting us into your dojo in here. And that's probably not the right description considering it's a country band. But nonetheless, thank you for letting us into your space, spending some time. It has been informative. That's why I love doing what we do.
And don't forget to label us as Ranch Rockers.
Ranch Rockers. I like that. That's
and we'll sign this. Ranch Rock poster.
Oh,
yes.
Or you can have the Dick Dale one.
No, dude, Dick Dale. I mean, with all respect to Dick Dale, I'm all Merle Jagger, man. my colors are all Merle Jagger right now.
Then we'll sign the Ranch Rock.
Yes.
Well, thanks again, guys. Anything else to declare? Anything else?
Anything we forgot?
No, man. Thank you for coming. We can let the ladies in now. They've been
sure
waiting
Mark
outside
the, last
the door.
Word, but
that's right. That's
well,
right.
No, it's just important for everyone to know.
Flowing
that
and panting.
We've played honky-tonk bars all around the United States for years, and we've learned not to trust anyone that doesn't drink.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. You know, Rock, you guys mentioned earlier, Rock is not dead, but you guys do an awesome job at keeping country alive. So thank you guys for that, man. Good job.
Thank you, and really appreciate you responding to our live show. That's the biggest compliment there is.
Sweet.
Thanks.
All right.
It was fun.
Fonz. Nice show. Nicely done.
Pilot
Thank
49.
You for discovering this freaking band.
Man, right?
The album that keeps getting released every year. Go
Dude,
get it.
Everybody go pick it up.
I'll just release it again and change the name of the
All right, man. The
and
pilot.
On that, dude, Pilot 49, amazing.
Done. All In right. the words of Nick Jagger, maybe we'll reach the first episode.